السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه. In Jamad al-Ula, in the fourth year after Hijrah, Abdullah, the son of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه, from Ruqayya, the honorable daughter of Huzur-e Pak صلى الله عليه وسلم, passed away when he was just 6 years of age. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many of his grandchildren also passed away. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza salah, and Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu an went into the qabr and received the body and placed the body in the qabr. So this was a great trial for Uthman radiyallahu an, and how many are the trials in the lives of those who call people to Allah Ta'ala. The people who are serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala will always go through some trial, some difficulty or the other. Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha stayed with Uthman radiallahu an until her demise in Sha'ban 9 Hijri as a result of illness. She fell ill and she passed away. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered the janaza salah and sat by her qabr. It was narrated from Anas bin Malik radiallahu an that he saw Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting by the qabr of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, and he said, I saw his eyes flowing with tears. And he said, Hal fikum min ahadin lam yuqari fil layla? Faqala Abu Talhata, ana. قَالَ فَأَنْزِلْ فِي قَبْرِهَا. That is there anyone, any man among you who did not do anything last night? In other words, didn't have any relations with their wife or anything last night. So Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, go down and lower her in her qabr. It was narrated that Layla bint Qanif al-Saqafiyah radiallahu anha said, I was among those who gave ghusl to Umm Kulthum, the honorable daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she passed away. The first thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us was the waist, you know, the piece of cloth that is used to cover the body from, you know, up to the waist. Then the khamis. The qamis, you know, the upper garment. Then the orni, the head cover, which is used for ladies. Men don't put all that. Then the bigger cloth that goes over the whole body. And after that, the final cloth, you know, the fifth cloth. So her kafan was 5 pieces, like how we use in today's time, 5 pieces for ladies. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the door. And he was passing them. So he wasn't inside there. He was at the door. And he was passing them the different pieces of kafan, one by one. It was narrated by Ibn Sa'ad that Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fadl bin Abbas, and Usama bin Zaid, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, went down in her qabr with Abu Talha to lay her to rest. And the ones who gave her ghusl were Asma binti Umais and Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Uthman radiallahu anhu was deeply grieved by the loss of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Uthman radiallahu anhu walking very broken hearted with signs of grief at his loss. He came to Uthman radiallahu anhu and he said that if we had a third daughter, we would have given her in marriage to you, O Uthman. This is an indication of the love that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Uthman radiallahu anhu, and also Uthman radiallahu anhu's loyalty and respect towards Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also a rejection of the superstitious attitude that people usually adopt in such circumstances. For the decree of Allah is ever executed, and nothing can ward off His decree. So, two daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were married to Sayyiduna Usman radiallahu anhu. Ji. Usman radiallahu anhu was one of the richest of those on whom Allah Ta'ala had bestowed wealth. He engaged in trade and he was very wealthy, but he used his wealth in the obedience to Allah Ta'ala, seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Thus he was always first to do good and spend. And when he was spending, he never feared poverty. You know, normally if we have money, we want to spend also, we worry, I mustn't give everything, you know, keep something. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You can save, you can. But Usman radiallahu anhu, when he used to give like there's no tomorrow. He shouldn't fear poverty, he just give everything. And Allah gave him like that also, and he used to give like that also. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Madina Munawara, he found that there was very little fresh water. And there, you know, the water is brackish. So very little nice, fresh, sweet water that you can drink. And there was only one well in Madina Munawara that had nice, fresh water. And the name of this well was Bi'ire Ruma. It's still there till today, Bi'ire Ruma. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, May yashri bi'ra rumata fayaj'alu fiha dalwahu ma'a dila'il muslimin bi khairin lahu minha fil jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who will buy bi'ra ruma and share it with the Muslims? In other words, he will buy it, but he won't act like, hey, I'm a owner. Just like how every other Muslim will have a right to take a bucket of water from there, he too will have the same right to take a bucket of water. In other words, he will buy it and make it waqf to the ummah. Everybody can use it. And in lieu of that, he will get something better than that in Jannat. So, and he also said, Man hafara rumata falahu al-jannah. Nabi Sassram also said, whoever will dig the well of Bi'ri Ruma, Jannat will be his. So before the arrival of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no one could drink from Bi'ri Ruma except in return for payment. When the Muhajirun came to Madina Munawara, they couldn't get used to the water. The water in Madina. It happens like that. You know, like we go to India, we get running stomach. Right? Although we came from there, but now when we go there, we get running stomach. Now, you know? A man from Banu Ghifar had a well called Ruma, and he used to sell water from it per bucket. In some narration, it comes that this person was a Jew. Right? He was a Jew, and he had this well, and he used to sell, very expensive, he used to sell water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, will you sell it in return for a spring in Jannat? Now in this riwayat, it's showing that this person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam offered to buy the well from him. So he said that, O Messenger of Allah, my family and I don't have anything else. In other words, if I sell this well, then I won't have no other income. So news of this reached Uthman radiallahu anhu. He went and he bought it for 35,000 dirhams. Then he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, will you promise me in return for it the same as you promised him? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, I give it as waqf. Give it to the Muslims. It was also said that Bi'ri Ruma was a spring that belonged to a Jew who used to sell its water to the Muslims. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an bought it from the Jew for 20,000 dirhams and donated it for the rich and poor and the travelers. So, what we read in the history kitabs is that this Jew, he had this well or this spring and he used to sell the water. So people had to come, they used to pay per bucket. So Uthman radiallahu an offered to purchase the well. So he said that, no, I'll offer you a partnership in the well. So he charged Uthman radiallahu an, I think it was 20,000 or some amount like that. And Uthman radiallahu an became a partner. So how the partnership worked was, one day the Jew would have access to the water of the well, and the next day Uthman radiallahu an would have access to the water of the well. So on the day of Uthman radiallahu an, he used to give water for free, and the Jew used to charge for water. So everybody came to know that every second day you get water for free. So they used to come and take water for 2 days, and the Jew now, he wasn't making money with the well. So then he offered Uthman radiallahu an to buy the other half, other share. So Uthman radiallahu an bought it from him, and then he went and presented it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was made waqf to the ummat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him Basharat of Jannat. So this is one of the places where he, you know, we see how he spent his wealth. Another place where he spent his wealth, we're just taking a few examples, otherwise there's many, many examples how he spent his wealth. After Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims would gather there to offer their 5 daily salah and also to listen to the majalis, the khutbat of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach what are the commands of Allah, what are the prohibitions of Allah ta'ala, teach about iman, about aqidah, about fiqh, all these things were taught by Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would set out from the masjid for jihad. Whenever jihad was taking place, the central point was Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mashwaras took place there. Everything used to happen there. From there, the mujahideen used to be sent out. And whenever the mujahideen returned also, the first stop is Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So over time now, the ummah is increasing and the masjid became small. Our situation is, we build a big masjid with few musallis. There they built a small masjid. Now as the need arose now, they needed to extend the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked some sahaba radiallahu anhum to buy the land next to the masjid so that the masjid could be expanded and it can be made big enough now to accommodate all the different khidmat, all the different people, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may yashtari buk'ata ali fulan fayaziduha fil masjidi bi khayril lahu minha fil jannah. Who will buy the land of so-and-so, the owner of that person who had the land next door? Nabi sallallahu took that owner's name. And he will add He will buy this land and add it to the masjid, right? And in lieu of that, he will get Jannat. Who will do this? So Uthman radiallahu an, he went alone. Today's time, people got a lot of money. You hear them talking some phenomenal figures, you think, hey, what? Personally, we go buy one Ferrari, 3 million, 4 million, no problem. He buys himself. He go build a house. A house costs 15 million, 18 million, 25 million. Gee, so much money. What they're planting? Saffron in the yard. What is so expensive? How come? Other people are building a house for 500,000, 700,000. This man is building a house for 25 million, 20 million, 18 million. But now in the same area, so many people are building so big houses like this. in the same area now, they say, okay, they're reading namaz in one small musalla, then they say, okay, we build one masjid now, right? Now, time come to build a masjid, they're going for collection. Time come to build a house, they're not going for collection. They're building themselves. Time come to build a masjid, they say, no, go for collection. And if somebody tell them, but you're a so wealthy community, why you need to go for collection? You say, no man, we want all the sawab for ourselves. Man. Give everybody a chance, you know. So there's only two explanations to that. Three explanations. One is, they are selfish, stingy. They don't want to spend. They only want to spend on nafsani things. Number two, they don't have the money. All the palatial houses belong to the banks. They don't belong to them. They don't have the money. That's why they can't. And number three, maybe they are really sincere that they want other people also to get sawab. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. So we don't know if we have that kind of money also, maybe we'll also get stingy. We don't know what's our situation. Allah Ta'ala protect us and Allah give us a heart like Usman radiallahu anh, that if Allah bless us with wealth, we must be able to spend that wealth, give that wealth in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Jee. So that was how Usman radiallahu anh, he bought that with his own money, 25,000 dirhams that time. How much of money it must have been. And it was added to the masjid. Now imagine, today how much sawab Usman radiallahu anh is getting. How many millions and millions and millions of people are reading salah in that masjid, coming and making salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tafsir dars is taking place, hadith dars is taking place, fiqh, tajweed, people coming from around the world, coming there to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the sahab going to Usman radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sahaba who built the place. Allah, Allah. So then this land now was added into the masjid, and now the masjid became large enough to accommodate the Muslims. Right? Then we discussed with regards to the Battle of Tabuk, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to set out on the campaign of Tabuk, he urged the wealthy sahaba to spend equipping the army of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight the Byzantines. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they spent whatever they could afford. But Usman radiallahu anhu spent such a huge amount, nobody could match. Right? We discussed this already. We'll stop there for today. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته